Gianlorenzo Bernini was a prodigy. He began sculpting at the age of 8, and he captured compassionate likenesses of the most powerful men and one woman of 17th century Europe. In marble or bronze, Bernini sculpted their wrinkles and dimples, their expressions of pride, passion, and sadness. Getty Museum Associate Curator Catherine Hess is the first to bring together 30 portrait sculptures and paintings by Bernini and his peers.
Early in Bernini's career, he did portraits of individuals who paid him for them. So basically anyone who had the money to order a portrait bust for a tomb setting, as an honorary item, that was essentially how he was working early in his career. But then in 1623, Pope Urban VIII was elected pope. He was born Matteo Barberini, and he served as a cardinal before being elected pope. And he was a close friend of Bernini's, someone who Bernini had worked for even before the papacy, his papacy. And Urban VIII turned out to be his most important patron. Bernini actually, during his long lifetime, he lived to be 81 years old, and he worked for a good 8 popes during that period of time.
At this point, it might be good to ask about technique. I mean, in the absence of, you know, resin modeling and power tools, how did Bernini create these extraordinary likenesses?
Because of his activities as a sculptor, painter, and architect, he was considered the Michelangelo of his day. But different from Michelangelo. Michelangelo never rendered a portrait sculpture. And Bernini can be distinguished from Michelangelo's activities because Bernini was quite interested in differentiating texture. Michelangelo was not so interested in this. In addition, Michelangelo's method was to reveal the form from within the block of marble. Bernini was not interested in this, did not want to have the form sort of emerging from the rock. He took his scalpel, he took his tools, and he went directly to the form within the block, an audacious approach.
In this beautiful yellow and gray gallery, you say there are examples that are really sort of the apex of the exhibition. Could you elaborate about that?
Sure. In this gallery, we've grouped only 4 objects, including 2 portrait busts by Bernini that are often referred to as his so-called speaking likenesses. Art historians have used that term for these portrait busts for a couple of reasons. One is that they are both shown with their lips parted, as if one is engaged in conversation with them, or as if one is interrupting an activity that they're involved with. In addition, I think the speaking likeness term can be used for these 2 busts, not only because of the gesture or the position of their lips, but also because they are very lifelike. What's remarkable about these 2 is that they were both very close to Bernini, and they both have an incredible sense of intimacy. Scipione, for instance, was one of his earliest great patrons. He is the man for whom Bernini produced the large-scale, life-size marble groups that are in the Galleria Borghese today, including the Apollo and Daphne and the Pluto and Persephone. They were very close, they were very friendly, and Bernini has chosen to depict the man as sort of a larger-than-life personality. Bernini produced this portrait bust for Scipione Borghese, and at the end of sculpting it, a crack appeared across the forehead of the bust. And Bernini saw this as an opportunity, this potential tragedy, saw it as an opportunity for self-aggrandizement. He quickly, in the space of several days, perhaps 2 weeks, created an identical second version, and that is the one that we have on display here. So it's a great show of his talents. And then Costanza Bonarelli, the second bust in this gallery, is a remarkable thing. It's not by chance that we've chosen her kind of as our poster child of the exhibition. This individual was married to one of Bernini's workshop assistants, Matteo Bonarelli, and in the 1630s, she and Bernini had an affair. The problem was that she was also sleeping with his brother. He found this out by looking out of a window and finding his brother leave her apartment one morning and with her saying goodbye in her shirt dress. And so he apparently ran after his brother with a big stick and tried to beat him and ran all throughout Santa Maria Maggiore. And his mother, Bernini's mother, went to the Pope and said, "Oh, you've got to stop this boy. He's out of control. He thinks he's the master of the world." She uses the term padron del mondo. He thinks he's the padron del mondo. And so the Pope Urban VIII went to Bernini and said, told him that this has got to stop and that he has to get married. And so the next year he did marry a woman, Caterina Tezio, with whom he remained married and had 14 children. The story about Costanza is remarkable because Bernini did this, executed this marble portrait bust for his own enjoyment. He was not paid for it. A block of marble this size was not a small thing. This was an expensive block of marble. It took a lot of talent and time to create this ravishing portrait of the individual. And he did it just for his own delectation, and he kept it in his apartment until the relationship went south, and then he got rid of it real quick. But that's why, in fact, the bust is in Florence rather than in Rome, because it made its way at some point into the hands of the Medici, and it ended up in the Galleria Nazionale del Bargello in Florence. It's a really remarkable bust also because it is a depiction of passion and of female sensuality. The woman is shown with her hair coming undone and her chemise coming open. And her mouth is open, not so much in conversation here, but for me it seems as if she's catching her breath, as if she's being surprised by someone walking in the door. It's a very intimate and engaging and quite ravishing portrait bust that well deserves to be at the apex of this show.
Getty Museum Associate Curator Catherine Hess. For more information on Bernini and the birth of Baroque portrait sculpture, go to getty.edu. For Arts Alive, I'm Hunter Drohoyoska-Philp.